If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, and we'll be in verse 89. And if you didn't pick up a copy of the notes, they're on the book cart in the back. It is always, especially in this day and age, it is always a great blessing to know that there are some things that will never change, that will always be the same. My wife and I were down in Santa Maria, California, where she was born and reared. And when you go back home, you always notice all the things that are different. Oh, that's new. Hey, what happened to such and such? Hey, how long has that been gone? Hey, and it was, anytime we went someplace, it was like that. Just this, hey, look at that. Hey, all these things that are different than it was before. And all of us deal with the same things if we, especially if we go back to a place where we haven't lived for a long time, and notice all the changes. Sometimes the place isn't even recognizable. We deal with that in churches so often there's always the slow turnover of people. There is not a single person in this room this morning, right now, that was here when Grace Baptist Church was started almost 20 years ago. Other than my wife and me. There's a slow turnover. And that's normal. I remember, pastor was celebrating being in the church for 50 years. And said, boy, you've been pastoring the same church for 50 years as well. It's not the same people. There is that slow turnover. Very often, too often, churches change their position, their philosophy, their doctrine. And that's why a number of you are here, because you were in a church that changed. And we see things change all the time, but it is always, again, very comforting, very reassuring to know that there are some things that don't change. And it says in verse 89 of Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I've got in your notes that this was Martin Luther's favorite verse. He had this posted in his home, in a place where he would see it on a daily basis. The word settled conveys the idea that it's standing, it's standing firm. Also conveys the idea that it is a certainty and that it is eternal. I have the word immutable there, which means that it doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Now let me, I'm not gonna chase this one too far. I hammer on this nail quite often. We are not talking about the King James Version in this verse. People who advocate a King James only position will often cite this passage and say, see, this is talking about the King James Version. You're reading into the passage something it doesn't say. It says that God's Word is settled in heaven. And when God gave His Word to people, He gave it to them in the Old Testament in the Hebrew language. There are portions that are in Aramaic, but it was given in the Hebrew language. The New Testament was given in the Greek language. Say, well, what do they speak in heaven? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Because you have to look at it this way. God chose a particular time and place to reveal His Word to humanity. And He chose, at those times, the optimal language to convey the message that He wanted conveyed. When He gave God's Word in the Old Testament, when He gave His Word in the Old Testament, Hebrew was the ideal means of conveying that message. In the New Testament era, Greek was the ideal means of conveying what God wanted to communicate. And as you read through the different books of the Bible, you can tell that there is a different style with the different books. You read, there's a vastly different style between, say, Isaiah and Jeremiah. There's a very, very different style between the writings of John and the writings of the Apostle Paul. And we know that God used people to convey His Word, but it is still by inspiration. We deal with the very words of God. But how do you accommodate that truth that we are dealing with the very words of God with the differences in style? Just as God chose a particular language to convey his word, he also singled out the single best individual that would use his style, his experience, his language, his experiences and so on to convey the truth that God would have for us. It is the optimal thing. This is still God's word. Every jot, every tittle, every word. We believe in a verbal inspiration of God's word. That it isn't just the thoughts and ideas. It is the very words that God chose to use. And all that is very important. This is one of the reasons why we can't deviate or waver when it comes to the nature of God's word. This is one of the reasons why when I recommend translations, you want one that is as literal as possible, as sticking to the original languages, and yet it still has to be readable English. I've got a couple of different translations in my office that are specialty things. And I'll tell you what, they are real hard to read. Because they stick so close to the original language. If you were to translate Hebrew from word for word into English, you'd have no idea what it says. It doesn't make sense. You've got to shuffle it around because they think in a different manner. It's not an Indo-European language. Greek, it's a little bit better, but even then. But God has given us his word, and he has given us one of the blessed things, especially in this day and age. But we have been blessed in the English language. Speakers of the English language too have had what are we up to now? Almost over 400 years of having quality English language translation of the Bible. Most languages haven't had that privilege. Before the King James, there was the Geneva Bible. That was the Bible of the Puritans. That predates the King James Version by close to 50 years. And the people, even though it was illegal, it was printed in Europe and smuggled into England because it was illegal. But thousands and thousands of copies of that were brought in. And finally, the crown gave up and said, okay, the Bible's out there. I can't escape it. Let's do something official and put it in all the churches so that everybody can read it if they want to. And one of the reasons why you can go online, you can go on probably on eBay and buy an original 1611. I'm not talking about a facsimile. You can buy those real cheap. Those are available anywhere. For 10 bucks probably or less. But you can get an original one. It's a great big huge leather bound thing. And it's got a metal clasp on the top of it because they kept it chained to the table there or the pulpit so people didn't run off with it. But people could go into the church and read it. And every church in England had one of those Bibles at one point in time. People could go in and read the Word of God. It is a blessed thing that we have this great proliferation of the Word of God, but we need to make sure that we have accurate translations that stick to the original Greek and Hebrew languages. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God didn't say, "Hey, I think I'll write a book." From eternity past, God knew what he was going to do. And so, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Verse 90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Just as God is the creator, just as God is the preserver and maintainer of what he has created, God's faithfulness is, and he's powerful to do that. His faithfulness is demonstrated through all time. Demonstrated in our day and age. We see this all the time. We are looking at the different blessings and God's taking care of us. God's meeting our needs. My wife's probably getting tired of hearing this. No, she's probably not. I had a wonderful vacation. I mean, I had the best vacation I have probably had, I'll bet you, in 10 years. It was great. It was great. I didn't work or do anything productive. It was great. Every time I've taken a trip for probably the last 5 years, I've preached or I've had to, I'm going to help somebody do something or, you know, this time I just went And I was figuring I'm going to have to do something for my mother-in-law. I was planning on that. And she didn't have anything for me to do. It had all been taken care of before we got there. I didn't see a single burned out light bulb in her place. It was great. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. I am thankful for God's faithfulness in sustaining and for safety and travel. I'm thankful for the opportunity to rest. I think I needed it. God is so faithful and so gracious. And we need to recognize that when we're going through trials and difficulties, and I know a lot of folks in this room have and are going through trials and difficulties, that everything is always under control. We may have things, and it just, things come apart at the seams. We're working on something, and oh no, something comes along and messes everything up, and we're scrambling to try to take care of all these loose ends and everything. God is always has everything under control. God is never frazzled. God is never wondering how he's going to cope with the circumstances. God is always in control and has everything under control. It says in verse 91, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. And he's talking about not just people, but he's talking about the things that he's made. The sun and the moon are God's servants. The stars are God's servants. The rivers and streams and lakes and oceans are, in a sense, God's servants. He controls all these things. When we were in California, we stayed at a place called Cayucas, which is basically a spot in the road. It's not very big. I don't know if 1,000 people live in Cayucas. And it's right there on the shore. So you're looking at the ocean. And this huge, vast body of water. Thousands of miles before you hit the next piece of land. And yet God knows everything that's in that. He controls it. He knows how many organisms are living out there. He knows how many molecules of water are in there. He knows where each of them is at any point in its history. God is in control. And they are all serving God. Verse 92. It says, unless thy law had been my delights, I would have perished in mine affliction. Sometimes we feel very much alone. Sometimes we feel that things are out of control. Sometimes we feel like there is no help. And yet for those of us who are God's children, none of those things are really true. Everything is under control. We do have help, and we may not necessarily sense it at the moment. We may not see it at the moment, but God is there. And we have to go by the truth of God's word instead of how we feel. Let me mention that again. We have to go by the truth of God's word instead of how we feel. There are times when we feel as if God has abandoned us. Sometimes we feel like the devil is in charge and God has left the room. Sometimes we feel very much alone and overwhelmed by circumstances, but we have to recognize the fact that if we are indeed God's children, that he is in charge, that he is in control, and that we are not alone, and that the power and everything else that is necessary is there. Unless thy law had been my delights. I need to delight in God's word. I need to take what God has said and accept it as the truth that it is and not depart from that. That is going to be my anchor in spite of the circumstances that I see around me. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I have heard all sorts of salvation testimonies over the years. I can be overwhelmed with a sense of the majesty of God by looking at what he has made. I can be overwhelmed with a sense of my own inadequacy, my own guilt, my own depravity, by a sense of guilt and the things that I do, the things I think, overwhelmed by my utter inadequacy and worthlessness. How can I have a right relationship with God? Well, we know the gospel. We know that Christ died to bear the penalty of our sins, that I can be put in a right relationship with God, that instead of being a sinner awaiting God's judgment, basically on death row awaiting that judgment, I can be forgiven and be God's child. Now that's great news. That's an incredible piece of information. Where do I get that piece of information? Do I get it from observing the grandeur of God in creation? No, I can see the grandeur of God, but I don't see His salvation there. If I'm going to know the salvation of God, I have to find it out in God's Word. I can deal with my guilt because I feel guilty. I feel inadequate. I deal with this. That's actually a gift of God, by the way, is our sense of guilt. So I can deal with the fact that I'm guilty, and I can deal with the grandeur of God, both of those truths apart from God's Word. Although they are taught in God's Word. But if I'm going to know the mercy of God and the grace of God, if I'm going to know salvation and life, then I have to get it from God's Word. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. That word quickened we don't use too much except during tax season. Some of you will get that. To quicken means to be made alive. Before we came to know Christ as Savior, we were what? We were dead in trespasses and sins. And there's a couple of ideas conveyed in that statement. But we were dead in trespasses and sins. How could we be made alive? How could God quicken us? The word quicken means to be made alive. How can I be made alive? Where can I get that piece of information? How can I gain what God has provided for me? How do I get to know that? I get to know it from God's Word. So back in verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts. I am going to immerse myself in God's Word. I'm going to learn the message. Because with that is the message of grace and mercy that I might have life. And then conveying the same idea on the heels of that one, verse 94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Before I came to know Christ as Savior, now in a sense, I belong to God even as a lost person because I am part of God's creation. But as far as service and so on, I was a child of the devil. I worshiped the flesh. I served the flesh. I could do nothing else. I was a servant of the devil who pays his servants in death. And yet now, because God has given me life, as we saw in verse 93, now I belong to God. I am God's child. I am God's servant. God has saved me. And how did I find that out? I found it out through His Word. It's the message of the Word. When we're sharing the gospel, and I hope you do. By the way, the tracts have been shipped. The tracts have been shipped. Hopefully next week we'll have the new tracts that have the new information on the back. And I did mention, for those of you who have commented this, that the green is going to be a little darker, so they'll be easier to read. Hopefully, I did mention that to him. He said he'd take care of that. But as you share the gospel with those around you, and I've recommended, you know, share your story. That's a great way to do it. But we need to have the scripture as part of our presentation if you want to talk about it that way. There has to be Bible verses in conjunction with that. Because the power, the authority, is not in my reasoning and not in my story. The power is in the Word of God. It's God's Word that brings conviction. It is God's Word that God honors. And therefore, we need to have those Bible verses memorized. We need to have those at the tip of our tongue as we share the gospel with other people. And it is through God's word that the message it saves people. Verse 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. There are always those who would rejoice in the stumble of a believer. There are always those that secretly rejoice when a believer sins. It's haven't seen one for quite a while. Somebody probably come up to me after the service. Well, there was this one, and then there was this one, and there was this one. But it's been a while since I've seen a story about a pastor or a church worker, or somebody who has either raped, pillaged, murdered. You go on down the list. It's been a while since I've seen. But you know what? Whenever one of those happens, it always makes the headlines. You always find it. Now, we could go through somebody who does the same thing in a business. We could deal with the same thing with somebody who does something under any other circumstance. And it may be passed over. Oh, it's a busy news day. We'll just skip that. But if it's church related thing, boy, they're gonna pounce on that. They're gonna make sure that gets all kinds of exposure, all kinds of press. And the wicked delight in pointing out the hypocrisy of those who claim to be God's children. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me if they can, sometimes by slander. But I will consider thy testimonies. God's in charge. I need to go back to the promises of God's word. I have seen an end of all perfection. All these things, the things that are, things change as we started out. But God's word doesn't change. God's word is perfect. God's word is sufficient to meet the need. And it is something that we can always count on. People change, churches change, the weather changes, we change. But God's word never does. It is the one thing that we can take in with our senses that we can count on. And that's the word of God. Let's immerse ourselves in it and let's revel in the promises that God has made. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that it is eternal, that it is a settled thing, that it is immutable, that it doesn't change. And Father, thank you that we have it before us. Father, may we revel in it. May we rejoice in the message that you have given us. And Father, may we read it. May we immerse ourselves in the message that you have given us. Father, we might be able to share this with others. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the security and the confidence it gives. We pray for Christ's sake.